relationships, parenting, faith. Discover books that will help you grow. The Wednesday Bookmark is brought to you by BooksForChrist.com.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Ottawa-based Don Hutchinson. Don studied history and politics at Queen's University, law at the University of BC, and theology with the Salvation Army and at Canada Christian College and School of Graduate Theological Studies. He served in senior leadership roles with the Salvation Army, the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, and Canadian Bible Society. He currently leads Ancero Services, partnering for religious freedom. He's also author of the previous Wednesday Bookmark, Under Siege, Religious Freedom and the Church in Canada at 150. We're going to talk this morning about his brand new book. It's called Church in Society, First Century Citizenship Lessons for 21st Century Christians. Good to talk with you again, Don.
Good morning, Brock. It's great to be back.
In the preface, you tell a true story that became an inspiration for the title of this book. Give us the quick version of that story.
Well, Expo 67 wasn't supposed to be in Canada. It was supposed to be in Russia. But when the Russians canceled, the Canadians jumped in because it tied in with our centennial celebrations. And the theme that they developed was Man and His World, with sub-themes all about the importance of man in the world, but no space for God. And that led to developing a course I took in high school called Man in Society. And it occurred to me as I was working through this book and praying about it that we needed to understand the place of church in society.
Many globally would think of Christianity as a Western religion, but you say Christianity is not a Western religion, it's a contextual religion. What do you mean by that?
Christianity, of course, was birthed in the Middle East. Jesus was a Jew, and the origins of Christianity filtered into the Western world of the Roman Empire. The influence on the Roman Empire after four centuries, when it was finally accepted as the religion of the empire, and then the following 16 centuries in which we have lived in that Western context, has created the misconception that Christianity is a Western religion. Christianity, Jesus, fits into our lives, whoever we are, wherever we've come from, whatever kind of a person we are, when we accept him. And it's similar with societies and cultures, so that Christianity looks different in African nations than it does in North American nations. Not because the truth is any different, but because the context is different and the expression, therefore, becomes part of that context.
The first biblical figure that you really dig into is Saul / Paul of Tarsus. What do you want us to understand about his citizenship?
It's critical for us, particularly in the West, but in other nations as well, to understand the significance of our citizenship and the parameters of our citizenship, the boundaries, the things that we can claim because of our citizenship. And this was something that was vital in regard to Saul. Saul was born a Roman citizen, and eventually he was arrested after he became a Christian, and he would have been beaten potentially to death but for his ability to claim his citizenship. And he didn't claim his citizenship for his own benefit. Paul's citizenship was claimed for the benefit of sharing the gospel. So how can we, in the 21st century context, use our citizenship on earth to share the gospel, because in Christ we also have citizenship in heaven?
If the church is many parts, one body, as you refer to it in the book, how are we to best respond when one part of our body is suffering, as with religious persecution around the world?
And that brings us back to Saul and how he became Paul, really. Saul was a persecutor. He was on the Damascus Road, his way to arrest Christians. And he thought that he was in pursuit of Christians to bring them back to face trial and penalty in Jerusalem. On the Damascus Road, he had a dramatic encounter with Jesus. And Jesus identified that he was not pursuing Christians. He was persecuting Christ, and he was persecuting the body of Christ. And that body message became central to Paul's ministry. He collected the original Sunday offerings, were intended as a collection to help those in Jerusalem who were in poverty because of their faith in Jesus. They lost their social position, they lost their jobs. And the world we live in today Christians are still suffering in a number of countries. Open Doors International estimates 245 million Christians suffering in roughly 73 countries, very significantly where there's the risk of loss of life. And there are ministries that recognize that this part of the body needs our support in nations where we are financially better off, where we have greater freedoms, and we can present to government arguments for freedoms, and we can present to those in need financial support. We also support them through education, helping them understand the scriptures and the truth that Jesus spoke. Those who follow him, those who love him, will face persecution if they're living a life that genuinely expresses who he is.
Let's move into the second half of the book under the heading of society and cover some of what you discuss there. The church ought to be known for having a lifestyle of generosity. So how can we work toward building an increasingly deeper generosity into 21st century Christianity?
Well, we transition from our love for Christ and our love for his body to understanding our love for our neighbors. The church over the centuries founded hospitals and schools and orphanages and expressed care into the community for those in need. In my earlier days, we had a church that had a soup kitchen, that also had a thrift store, and was engaged in meeting needs in the community in a variety of ways. A lot of the things the church used to do has been taken over by government gradually, and a lot of people within the church have started to see government as the provider, and they'd like to encourage government to continue to do those things. But it's a healthy reminder for us that the church is still called to love our neighbors. And that can play out in a variety of ways. It may mean that, again, we may have those soup lines that are needed. We have ministries that have been inspired, such as Christian Horizons Homes for the Developmentally Disabled, that are still heavily sponsored by the church. We have the capacity to run feeding programs for children. There are so many other creative ideas that are out there that we need to remember that the church is not about coming together for an hour or two on a Sunday inside a building. The church is about the people living the life of Christ at home, in that building, and outside that building, the communities in which we live.
And near the end of the book, you discuss church engagement in things like politics, the media, the environment. We won't have time to get into that, but people should pick up a copy of the book to see some of your thoughts in those areas. Don, as we close, what do you see as the big takeaway from church and society?
I think we've started to think of our engagement as citizens as confined to politics, instead of realizing that our engagement as citizens is much bigger than that. And I encourage that our engagement be to love the Lord our God with all we are, to love within the body of Christ with all we have, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves.
Church in Society, First Century Citizenship Lessons for 21st Century Christians. Ottawa-based Don Hutchinson, our guest this week on the Wednesday Bookmark. Always great talking with you, Don. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brock.
To hear this interview again or to discover more great books, visit chri.ca. The Wednesday Bookmark, brought to you by booksforchrist.com. Proudly Canadian, booksforchrist.com.